So I repeat the translation again. After hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of a snake bird sent by a son of a brahmana, he will get himself freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him. We are talking about King Parikshit. The word Pariksha means, in Hindi, Sanskrit, it means to pass through a test, to pass through an examination. And Parikshit passed that examination, the womb of his mother. Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So he passed that test. And who helped him to pass that test? That was Krishna himself. He came there and he protected him. So it says here, after hearing, it's now we are talking about King Parikshit. This chapter is the birth of the emperor King Parikshit. He's the emperor. And in the purport now, Srila Prabhupada describes about the material attachment. And because in the translation it says, he will be born with the mercy of Krishna himself, and then how he is going to die. That's the very ironical, that how his death is not going to be, it's not a normal death. He's going to die by the bite of a snake bird. And if Krishna can protect him in the womb, why can't he protect him now? That'll be a layman would ask that. He protect him in the womb, just let him to die by a snake bite. The material world will not understand this. The mercy of Krishna comes in many ways. So this is again, it's the mercy of Krishna. That when he comes to know, because we all will never come to know when we are going to die. The moment of death is not given to us. We have many astrologers in the world. They can predict you the time, the year, or the somewhere near the week maybe, the month maybe, but not the exact moment. Nobody can predict that. Only Krishna knows that. So here, he is merciful to Parikshit that he gives him in advance the notice for 7 days he gets it. So there, and in those 7 days, he's preparing himself to get detached from all material attachment. Krishna has not given us the time. We don't know when we will die, what moment we will die. So he is actually in his vibhutis, he is the most beautiful, he is most brave, he's got all the wealth. And then he is all the cleverest, he's the most cleverest. We may think we are very clever, we can deceive him, we can do anything, we can bluff the world, we can bluff the whole, anybody in this world, we can bluff them easily. It's a human nature, we can do that. But we cannot bluff Krishna. Nobody can bluff Krishna. He knows, he tells that in the Bhagavad Gita himself. Sarvasacham hidusan vishtomata smirti gyanam aponam cha. You may try to deceive me, but I'm seated in your heart. I'm there. I know you all in and out. I know what you are desiring. What is the deep desire you have in your heart? Because sometimes that deep desire doesn't, we also don't know it. We have it in our heart and superficially we are covering it all the time. But that desire is there inside. Maybe we are trying to be a devotee. We are trying hard with our appearances. We are trying hard to put a nice tilak, nice feedback coming in the association. Yes, that's a big effort we are doing. But maybe in the deep down in our heart, somewhere we want to enjoy this world as well. We have that inclination. And Krishna knows that. He will put us in a test then. He will give us that, what we are looking for. He'll put us in that situation. And then he will test our free will, what we do. Whether we go that side or whether we come this side. So this is here. He was lucky enough. That's the mercy of Krishna that he knew there's going to be 7 days for him. We won't be that lucky. So Krishna is very clever. He says, at the time of death, remember me and you come back to me, to come your own home. But at the time of death, your consciousness will be tested at the time of death. And then I will not let you know exact moment of your death, that when are you going to die. So how clever he is. He means that we should always remember him. We should always chant his name. So any moment we can die. Maybe we can die right now. In 10 years, 10 seconds, 10 days. Nobody knows it. So this is there that we have to get rid of this material attachment, the baggage of material attachment, which are we are carrying it for the last so many births, not years, births. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, material attachment and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord go ill together. They don't go hand in hand. They're two opposite directions. And what the material world says, why are you totally inclined towards Krishna? Why are you always chanting? Why don't you balance your life? So balancing of the life is not in that what they think. They say go to the temple for just for darshan, a quick darshan, or maybe stay for half an hour or so. But then come back to your normal life. You're not normal. You're not going out with us. You're not normal. You're not sitting and chatting with us. You're not normal. They take it as abnormal. But they don't know the devotional life is the supreme. It's the most sought after. And material attachment is not going to, at the time of death, if there is a material person also who is totally engrossed in material world all through his life, you will see. When he falls sick, his relatives will come back to a devotee only. They'll say, please come and help. Please come and do something for him. Doctors have really said he's in a lot of pain. And he is this, that. And they will ask your help. What can be done now? Please come. So at the moment of such a calamity, they know that there is only one help, and that's Krishna himself and his devotees. So that should be what we should target for. Yes, they come for devotees only at the time when there is such calamity comes up. So in fact, this is the right path we are on. So Srila Prabhupada says, material attachment and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord go ill together. They cannot be in the same boat. One has to decide it. Yes, maybe 20% I keep the material relationships and 80% it has to be my sadhana, my devotee association, my chanting and all other things, the reading. And that is the part of the surrender. That is the part of our going towards Krishna. Material attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness under the shelter of the Lord. See, Srila Prabhupada has given very strong words. He says material attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness. Because Krishna says there, Nastir buddhri yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha avatar shantira shantasya kutas sukham. He says, if your intelligence is not attached to me, nasti buddhri yuktasya, if your intelligence is not attached to me, it's not transcendental, it's not divine, then you're going to suffer in this world. Shantasa kuta sukham. You're looking for peace and happiness. And there is no peace without happiness. And where is the peace and happiness? It's with me, he says that. If your intelligence gets attached to me, you are bound to attain the peace and happiness. Because you go in the world and you ask everybody, what do you want? They say, we want happiness. We want to live in peace. And Krishna reveals that. He says, without peace, there is no happiness. And without me in your life, there is going to be no peace. You keep on running after the material world. You keep on acquiring the material, whatever material you want. You want this material world. You want to enjoy this material world. You may go on collecting, hoarding the things. But they are not going to give you the sukh, the happiness. So that is why the attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness. That is, when we are materially attached, we are not taking the shelter of the supreme power, then we are totally in ignorance. And the material world says that ignorance is bliss. For them, the ignorance is bliss. They say, who has seen what is going to happen? You talk about all that. But then, let us enjoy. We are in this world, let us enjoy. That's ignorance, mode of ignorance. But the real bliss is always with the supreme power. Devotional service to the Lord while existing in the material world is a way to practice one's transcendental relation with the Lord. It's a beautiful line. Devotional service to the Lord. Prabhupada has given a comma, a small pause after that. He says, devotional service to the Lord while existing in this world. Some people talk of mukti. They want to get mukti after their death. And you know what the real mukti is? The real mukti, the real liberation is from all the vices we are carrying, all the anarthas in us while we are alive. That is the real liberation. If you are really liberated in this world, living in this material world, you get liberated from those anarthas, from those vices, then you're going to get that liberation after death. There is no liberation after death unless you are liberated in this lifetime itself. So that is what we practice in devotional service, to get rid of those anarthas. We sing every day I notice there we sing the Trinadapi Sunichena Tarurapi Sahinshana. That is for us. That is very tough. It's most difficult verse. Lord Chaitanya gave just 8 verses. And out of these 8 verses, this is the most difficult verse. You'll say it's so easy, we chant every day, we know the meaning. It's so simple. Yet it's most difficult to practice. Most difficult. We don't have humility. We cannot think us to be a blade of grass. You just speak to somebody and look at their ego comes out. Immediately they say, how you tell me this? How you tell me not to do this? And when you question how, it's gone. You're not tolerant like a tree. Nobody is. We are all trying. Maybe we are 1 grade, 2 grade, 3 grades, like that. But real tolerance is, again, when put to test, we fail to pass it. That is there. Then the devotional service helps us. Prabhupada says, while existing in this world is a way to practice one's transcendental relation with the Lord. What you're going to experience after you're gone from this world, you want to experience this. I want to go to Goloka. I want to serve Krishna there. But when you're not ready to serve Krishna here, how you expect you will get the service there? You cannot get the service there. It's more stuff. And we are not trying to be humble here. We are not trying to be tolerant here. Krishna is not going to take us back. To only reform us, he has sent here. And yet we are not trying to get reformed. We are yet trying to be the boss. First we were boss in the material world. Now when we are in the association of devotees, we want to boss here as well. We want to prove that, oh, I'm better than them. I'm better than him. I'm better than that. No. That's why we are servant to all. That means we are not in the literal sense, the practical sense as well. One has to be a servant. Serve. Service mood has to be there. And devotional service is with love, serving with love. Not just with a goal of this, that I want to go to Goloka, that's why I'm serving you. No, with love you have to serve. Krishna sees all that in your heart, seated in your heart. He says, serve with love. Not under any compulsion. Maybe when we enter the temple, we are put to practice. So under some compulsion, we are doing it. But then, again, Krishna has given a solution for this. He says, it's abhyasteya konteya. He tells, put yourself into practice. So when you start practicing this, practicing serving the devotees, love will come. The anarthas will go, the love will come. Because it's chaito darpanam marjanam. You have to cleanse your heart. The love is there, embedded there. And over it has come, it's covered with dust, dirt and dust. So you have to wipe that off. And that only wipes, you can only wipe it off with the help of the chanting. There's no other way out. Yesterday I had a beautiful class with beautiful devotees, those who are very coming new to this temple. It was we did sound vibration, the chanting. And the whole world, actually, the nature is a symphony. It's, you know, it's synchronized symphony. The birds are singing, the trees are there making noise. When the wind rustles, the leaves rustle. Like wind blows, the leaves rustle. The waves, they make a noise. When we sit at the beaches, we watch the waves. We love it, the sound they make. We see the rivers flowing, lotus blooming in them. We enjoy all this. And there is a vibration in it. That's why I say there is a positive vibration, there's a negative vibration. And these places, what Prabhupada has built for us, these are the places of positive vibrations. When we chant that energy, it surrounds this place. It gets accumulated in the place. We all chanted in the morning, we were chanting around. So every day we are chanting it. The energy is storehouse. It's a storehouse of this energy, the positive energy. And when anybody visits this place, he feels that. He feels that vibe. Even a negative person may come here, he feels that vibe. and that vibe helps him. He carries the positive vibes with him from here. And that's where we call it battery recharging. We recharge our batteries. We deplete them, and then when we visit early in the morning, we again recharge them. So this is the effect of the chanting. And mantra means that controls our body, protects our body and soul as well. That is mantra. We have heard this, that mantra means controlling mind. It helps to control the mind. That is why it's called mantra. In Sanskrit is, jo man ko niyantran mein karta hai. That's it. Who controls the mind. That is mantra. Of course, that's the mantra. But that protects the mind and the soul is the mantra. Because it's all the positive. That is, Krishna says, I'm non-different to my name. His darshan, taking his darshan and chanting his name. It's the two sides of the same coin. And it's coins, both sides. One side is Krishna's darshan, other side is a chanting. It's non-different. All these are non-different to Krishna. So when we chant the holy name, then we accumulate all that pious activities done in the previous birth, this birth. Everything is there in that naam, in that holy name. So devotional service to the Lord while existing in the material world is a way to practice one's transcendental relation with the Lord. We have a transcendental relationship with Krishna that this material world cannot understand. The material people cannot understand. The material world only can understand when they cleanse their hearts. Without cleaning their hearts, they cannot understand what relationship and what bliss we are experiencing. They cannot understand. Only one, those who are chanting, those who are in the association of devotees, those who have given their heart and soul to Krishna, to this mantra. And this mantra, what we chant, is the Maha Mantra, I told them last time. It's not a simple mantra, because there are millions of mantras in this world, you know. If you go in the Vedas, there are so many mantras, even if you are bitten by a snake, there is a mantra you can chant. The poison goes away. There are mantras, if your business is not running well, you chant this mantra, it starts running well. There are many anushthans in the Vedic Karam Khand. And that's why Krishna told Arjuna, beware, he says. And in the Gita, again and again he says, I have given the Vedas, I am the knower of the Vedas, I have given everything. And yet he tells, don't get entangled in the flowery language of the Vedas. He tells that. That's why Krishna has got, you say, he's an amazing character. He's putting us to test every time. He gave the Vedas. He gives it to the whole world. So simple. And then he says, don't get entangled in the Vedas. The flowery language of the Vedas. So it's so amazing that we should try to get out of that flowery language of the Vedas. We are not here to enjoy the material world. That's what he wants to tell us. And we just pay a deaf ear to that. And we want to do everything what we like. We become manamukha jivas. The 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he speaks of that in the 55th verse. He says, do your karma for me if you really want to be away from this world. If you don't want to get entangled in this world. So it says here again, our relationship with Krishna is transcendental. And when it is matured, one gets completely free from all material attachment and becomes competent to go back home, back to Godhead. It's there when this relationship matures. That means it is in a very nascent stage. How does the maturity comes? One is a child, then grows old, young, and then in middle age, and then the full ripened old age, where he's got a lot of experience, now is, we say, fully matured. He knows the world in and out. So when this relationship with Krishna matures, is that when all the anarthas, all the vices, we try, put a strong effort to get rid of them, Krishna sees our effort. We celebrate the Damodar month, and we, every day, we do offer a ghee lamp. And then in this month, we make it a point to go back again to the katha of his, how he was tried the Yashoda tried to tie him. And we all know that the rope was always two fingers short. And our acharyas have said, the two finger, why not four finger, three finger, four finger, was always two fingers short. The first finger describes our effort. And the second finger is the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna says, I give my mercy when you put an effort. When you put an effort to tie me, when you put an effort to run after me, coming to the Mangalarti, attending the Mangalarti, following all the four rules, and following them nicely, chanting nicely, following Ekadashi, and enjoying in the festivals, enjoying the prasadam, enjoying the kirtan, giving yourself, fully surrendering to these, is a way, that is the austerity we have put in, that is the effort we have put in. And Krishna sees to that. Nothing goes unnoticed. He may think we can hide it, nothing goes unnoticed. He knows each and every little detail also of your heart and of everybody's heart. It's amazing that crores and crores of people, millions and millions of jivas are there. And not only human species knows everything of every species. Imagine how powerful, how strong he is. So, and he is doing all this while just he is coolly playing his flute. He doesn't have to put any endeavor, extra endeavor. He doesn't have to make muscles. He doesn't have to eat almonds to keep his brain sharp. He knows everything. So it is there, the devotional service and the transcendental relationship to Krishna go hand in hand. And when this relationship is matured, one gets completely free from all material attachment. You may be living with your family, because we are grastas, we live with our families. So, we may be there, but the attachment, what does that attachment mean? Attachment doesn't mean that we will not take care of them. Attachment means we are not entangled with them. They are there with us, yet our service is most important to us. Our service to Krishna is most important. The biggest service to Krishna is chanting the holy name sincerely. That doing, following that austerity every day, keeps that entanglement away. Then you don't become entangled. Rather, you guide your family at every, your children. If husband and wife, they are devotees, then they are in the ashram, that way they guide their children. Their own, they are the best examples to their own children. So this is there, that material entanglement will not come, because they both are devotees and they know that if they are too much into the material world, this transcendental relationship with Krishna will wither away, and we do not want to lose it. This is the most important thing in our life. So we want to catch hold of him, and that is while staying in the grastha family, while staying in a grastha ashram, you do not take this, that you do not leave your responsibility of chanting nicely and doing the service to Krishna, to Guru and Krishna. That's most important. So Maharaja Parikshit, being specially attached to the Lord from the beginning of his body in the womb of his mother, was continuously under the shelter of the Lord. So that's what I said earlier, that he was totally under the shelter of the Lord. Lord protected him in the womb. And he had such a beautiful birth, where the womb was totally destroyed by, the Uttara's womb has been destroyed by the Brahmastra. But still Krishna gave his darshan to Parikshit and protected him. And so called warning of his death within 7 days from the date of the curse by the Brahmana's son was a boon to him to enable him to prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. So that was a boon. The 7 day warning what he got, that was a boon for him. Sometimes people ask that, how do we know that Krishna wants this from us? And how do we know when to turn to him? You are chanting because you have had his mercy. We have not had his mercy. So when we will get it, we'll do it. So other day also somebody told me this. He said, you have got this mercy, but we haven't. So when it comes, we will do. I said, Krishna keeps on putting you in situations where he wants you to come to him, but then you divert away. Because the phone does ring. He does want you to come here, but it goes in a missed call. You don't take the call. You do what you want to do. So that goes into the missed call. Because he puts everybody in a situation when It's we are left to decide where we want to go and what we want to do. It's that there was somebody who asked a sannyasi. There was a class going on in Vrindavan, and a question was put to a sannyasi who was giving a class. That question was that the lady asked, I am here chanting. Why is it, it was me and my friend, we met with an accident. And after that accident, that left an impression on me that I have now, like, I have to surrender. I have to do something because death is very uncertain. I've seen the death very closely. So I want to do something to give peace to me now. Because I was scared by death, she said. And then it disturbed me so much that when I came to Vrindavan, I wanted to do and chanting and sit with the devotees. That give me a lot of peace and strength, she said, to face the death also. But then she says, my friend was also in that accident with me. But she did not become like me. She did not take it what I saw it. Both of us were in the same boat, the same car, and almost the injuries were also the same. But then why she did not come here and I'm here? She is back in the material world and she says it's not time for her. She's okay with what happened and she's carrying on the life as like that. So that Maharaj answered him. He said, in your credit, there were a lot of pious activities from the previous births accumulated. And those pious activities and some bhakti which you had done in the previous birth brought you to the association of devotees. And you took to the chanting. Whereas that friend of yours, maybe she did not have those much of pious activities and bhakti to her credit. She went back to the world. So it is there when our sins, they go lower to the weight of the pious activities and the bhakti we have done, then we get the devotional life. And if we had committed a lot of sins, they have been more than the pious activities and the bhakti we did it, then we would have never been here. All of us, we are here because we have really done some bhakti in the previous births and we have really had accumulated pious activities with it. Because bhakti brings pious activities. It cannot bring sin. So that is why to complete it, Krishna brings us back to the association of devotees. That is why we are here. And those are fortunate who enter this and remain in the association of devotees. Because that is the biggest, only way to go out of this material world. And it's the only way to get detached. And we all beg for service. We all want service. That service is going to take us back. Its service can be of, it can be in any form. We can serve Krishna by cleaning the toilets here. We can serve Krishna by cleaning even the plates here, dirty plates. We can serve Krishna by doing the pujari service. We can serve Krishna in so many ways. The altar inspires us. When we see at the altar, you have Hanumanji at the altar. The biggest devotee of the Lord. He's the biggest devotee of Lord Ram. And with Krishna also, he was there at the Mahabharata Yudh even. The war when was fought, he was there at the flag. He was there. So it is there that Hanumanji is the biggest devotee. He's serving Lord Ram. And when Lord Ram was in exile, he served him there. But now when he returned to Ayodhya, his service was terminated by Bharat. They said, now you cannot serve. You have served him, Lord, let us serve now. You rest now. You get retired. And now Hanumanji was in like pain. He didn't want to retire. He wanted to serve yet. But they were not giving any service to him. They all surrounded Lord Ram now. They were the brothers. And they were the family. And they would not let Hanuman come near him. They said, now you retire. Please, let us do we want to serve him now. Then what Hanumanji did? He thought of a service himself. He said, whenever Lord Ram will yawn, you know, I'll just make it sure that no fly had come near him. And I will just do this or chutki like this. He took that service. He said, whenever he yawns, I want to do this for him. So that is my service. And he can yawn anytime, you know. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Bhagwan ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So he said, that is my service. And now Bharat and Shatrughan, nobody could say anything to him. Because he has, and he took the permission from Lord Ram that I want to do this service for you, that whenever you yawn, I want to be near you. And then I would do like this, so no fly or nobody can enter your mouth. He took this service. It says in the scriptures. So it is there. It's very interesting that we can have any service for Krishna. And Krishna loves it. He loves your mood of service. He doesn't see whether you're holding the plate of flowers, petals, or you're holding the Chanamrit tray. He doesn't see that. He sees your service, your bhava, that you want to serve him. He loved Hanuman for that only. Hanumanji has them in his heart, you know, seated in his heart. He shows to the world, see, they are there. We can't tear our chest and show that he's there. Yet Krishna says, I am there. But I reveal to you only when I see your effort that you want me in your lives. And you give me the prime most. We have to give him the prime most, topmost place. He is much above our families. He's much above everything. So to serve him is the biggest priority, should be the biggest priority in our lives. So here it says that Brahmana's son was a boon to him to enable him to prepare himself to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada has used these lines many times here. In this one paragraph of Purport, he speaks again and again, back to home, back to Godhead. Twice he says here. So again and again he's emphasizing that preparation to go back to Godhead is the most prime thing in this life. We've got the human form only to go back to Godhead. The scriptures reveal that even the demigods, they linger for this human form. Because in this human form only we can go back. There's a story of Maharaja Katwang in this Bhagavatam. Maharaja Katwang was invited to the upper planets to fight the demons. He fought with the demons, sided with the demigods, and fought with the demons there. And the demigods won. Now the demigods asked him, what can we do for you? So Maharaja Katwang said, could you please tell me that how long I am going to survive now? When will I leave this body? Could you please reveal that to me? They said, according to the astronomical chart, it's just 1 second left for you to leave the body. He said, I want to rush to the Mrityu Loka, to this earth, to this planet. Because when I leave the body here, chanting the glories of Krishna, I will go back to Godhead. And in the upper planets, it's not possible. He immediately came to this planet and left his body while chanting Krishna's name. So that's again, Bhagavatam gives us the beautiful examples, the beautiful stories. These stories are there to inspire us. They give a lot of rasa to us. They give a lot of enjoyment to us. But yet they are there to inspire us. Because it's with the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even said, perform the dramas. Because we get more impressed when we see it's enacted before us. So that these stories, they are not just wild imaginations. They are not mythology. They really happened. That's the history. They were there. So they are here to inspire us. That we learn from these great emperors what they want. They went to the upper planets also, and yet for giving up the body, they had to come back to this Mrityu Loka, to this planet. So we are fortunate that we are born as human beings, and yet we have got the mercy, we are in the association of devotees. That is again a prime thing we have got in our lives. And we should be chanting the holy name because we also have the same goal. Back to Godhead, we want to go. Since he was always protected by the Lord, he could have avoided the effect of such a curse by the grace of the Lord. But he did not take such undue advantage for nothing. Rather, he made the best use of a bad bargain. So that is Prabhupada says. We should make the best use of the bad bargain. He got this. He, as I said, Prabhupada says there, he could have easily avoided his death. Yet, he did not go ahead with this. He asked, rather, a person who is going to die what he should do, and he did that. He did not want to take revenge. That's a pure Vaishnava. Being an emperor also, he's a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not an enemy of his own enemy. He doesn't go for tit for tat. He even asked the Supreme Lord to bless everybody in this world. And when we ask that, please bless all, and our enemies do come in that. We ask Krishna to bless him also. We should not hate anybody, that's there. We should not, it says there, Krishna says, Yona harshatina dveshatina shochatina kangshati shubhashu pratyagi bhakta manya samapriya. This kind of a devotee is very dear to me, who does not hate anybody, who does not love anybody also very deeply. Like we say, on the above level, everybody is nice. So be nice to everybody. Why do you want to see the faults of others? Let them see it for themselves. You just see their good qualities and just be nice to them on their face and be nice to them behind their backs also. Don't blaspheme, that means, do not blaspheme others. That means that if you have noticed also something wrong in them, you can just report to the higher authorities. Whatever action they take, it's their responsibility. But then your job is done. You do not linger on with that now, because then your consciousness is affected. So that's why Krishna said, do not get attached to somebody very deeply and do not hate also somebody. Hatred also comes from a deep heart. You may not like what somebody says, it's okay. But if you start pondering over that and emphasizing on that, then it becomes deep hatred comes. So do not hate anybody, do not love anybody, do not get attachment to the aversion or even the love, Krishna says that. That's there. So he says, those who don't do this, they are very dear to me. So it's, we should be, everybody is nice on the top level, so why not we remain on the top only? And under our skin, there is a lot of, we know, if just a wound happens on your cut, there's a cut on your skin, you don't want to see inside. Because inside is a very ugly sight. If the skin is off, we don't want to see that wound. We just leave it covered, you know, that nobody else also should see. Because it's all, we all ourselves can't see inside. It's a ghastly scene inside. What you see is all your nerves and all, it, you can't imagine even. So why we want to go deep into others? Go deep into yourself and look at others from the top level. That's it. You will not get disturbed. That is there. Look into your innermost, because the mantra is awakening your innermost. Mantras do that. Mantra has the power. So we are getting late. Since he was always protected by the Lord, he could have avoided the effect of such a curse. But he did not take such undue advantage. Rather, he made the best use of a bad bargain. For 7 days continuously, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. Again, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes on that. He simply doesn't write, he heard Bhagavatam. He says, from the right source. From the bona fide speaker. Who is the best one is the Shukdev Goswami. So he heard from him. And thus he got shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord by that opportunity. Every word in Srimad Bhagavatam has got a very deep meaning. Opportunity. That's, sometimes when you read Srimad Bhagavatam or the purports in any of the scriptures where Prabhupada is given, it's there that his words, he has used such words that you really understand the meaning, like what is the whole meaning in this. Of this verse. Opportunity. So you should not let any opportunity go away where you can meet Krishna, where you can serve devotees, because they are the medium to go to Krishna. The only medium is service to the devotees of the Lord. And that is how you will get detached. That is how you will get the transcendental relationship back with Krishna. This is the only medium. So do not lose any opportunity, Prabhupada means here. Take use, make most use of every opportunity. So it's 8:25. As we know, we are celebrating the Lord Varahadev's appearance day also today. And we all know he's the third incarnation of the Dasavatar. He's the third avatar. And why he appeared, because every incarnation has a reason to appear. And there was Hinakash. The Hiranyakash, he had plundered the earth, and there was imbalance on the earth. And then the earth, it plunged into the ocean, and it went deep into the ocean. And then Krishna, as he is, we say, he's the most compassionate. He's the Deena Dayalu. He had to protect us, the species, the human, all the species, his own earth. So he took, how he appeared, from the nostril of Brahma, a tiny boar appeared. And then it took a giant form and he entered the ocean. And then it says, for 1,000 years, there was a fight between him and the demon. And the demigods, they all were watching this, all praying to Krishna, all watching it. And Krishna loves to fight, you know. He can finish off the demon in a few seconds. He even doesn't need to come. He can do it. But then he fought in Narsingh Deva form, he fought with Hiranyakashipu. And sometimes it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it appeared that he was losing. He cannot. But he was enjoying that fight. So likewise, he fought with him for 1,000 years. And ultimately, he brought the earth back on the surface. And he carried it on his tusk, powerful tusk. He brought it up and it floated again. So that's Lord Varahadev. So all glories to Lord Varahadev. Lord Varahadeva ki jai. So any question anybody has, it's 8:30.